Amen. Some things you say that you are ashamed of, and others you are not ashamed of. If you are ashamed to own that Jesus is your Savior, you have a definite problem. Therefore, we need to own up to who Jesus Christ is and accept the fact that God sent Him to die for our sins. And I'm not ashamed to tell you this morning, I was standing here clicking this thing, and I never turned around. Never turned around at all to see if it was up on the board. So my wife said she wasn't going to tell anybody. But I'm like that little boy that can't hold a quarter in his pocket. I had to go ahead and share that with you. So I apologize for this morning that you could not see what I saw. But hopefully you heard what I was saying. And on this evening, we're going to continue with the lesson. I know that we stayed here for a long time on this morning. And I'm not going to keep you very long on this evening, but we will go through the rest of the lesson. You can succeed. You can succeed. We need to understand it. We need to listen to the word and follow it. These men did so. These men did, and so can you. Moses, who came from a single parent home, we looked at how his mother was able to raise him, but yet giving him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Joseph, who came from a dysfunctional home, one where his brothers wanted to kill him, and they talked bad to him, and they sold him into prison instead of killing him, or into slavery instead of killing him. On this evening, we're going to talk some about Timothy, and we're going to talk a little bit about Jesus. We hear about Jesus on every Sunday, how we need to accept Him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and have our sins washed away in the water grave, those that have not put Him on through baptism. Added to the body of Christ by the Lord Himself, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We have witnessed that on the last couple of days, on Friday night. Sister Autumn was baptized into Christ. And then on this morning, Sister Williams. Ain't that a shame? You know, yesterday I would have said her first name, but today I can't even call her first name. Sister Williams. But we ask that you continue to pray for those two, because now is time for them to understand and to accept really who Jesus Christ is and know that Satan is upset, royally mad. But that's okay. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. And if we will continue to do what we're supposed to do, we can help them along their Christian journey. Moses led the people of God to safety. We found out this morning he was raised by a single parent, his mother. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He became a spokesman for God. He is found in the Word of God to be a man of faith, as we read this morning in Hebrews chapter 11. We also looked at Joseph, who was made prime minister of Egypt. Nothing was to be done except for Joseph knowing about it and Joseph's telling them the things that needed to be done from a dysfunctional home. He had 11 brothers and his father had 2 wives. The story is even told that he had 2 mistresses as well. You know, I just don't understand it. Just don't understand it, Brother Oliver. One wife is enough. You don't need any other woman, you know. But this man had 2 wives, 2 mistresses, and 11 and 12 kids, you know, total. 12 boys. He spied on his brothers per his father's request. He was hated by his brothers. They plotted to kill him, but instead they sold him to slavery. Joseph lived 110 years serving the Lord. That's a long time. But look what he did. He dedicated his time to serving God. You can dedicate yours as well. I'll take that glance real quick. I can see Brother Theodosius' eyes up there, so I know it's on. Timothy, an example to the believers. I'm going to start there this evening, and we're going to look at some things reference to Timothy. He was from a divided home. See, many times we forget about that. That Timothy was from a divided home. We have children today that are from a divided home. Does that mean that the mother and father are separated, that they're divorced? Not necessarily. It could mean that one believes one thing and another believes something else. Timothy's father was an unbeliever. And we need to understand that if his father was an unbeliever, Timothy could very well have been one as well. We find in the book of Acts, chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, verse 1 and 3. Acts 16, verse 1 and 3. Then came he to Deborah and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that they were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father. They knew all that his father was a Greek, an unbeliever. But his mother and his grandmother, they taught him the word of God. And I need us to understand something this evening: that many times it is the father that's the unbeliever, and the mother is the one that try to nurture her child and to bring her child up in the way that God would have them to go. Sometimes we lose out. Sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes the father will take that child and he will teach that child what he wants that child to know. It may not necessarily be the truth. So that's what we want to look at when we start talking about a divided home. I remember the days when I was a little boy and we used to get sent to worship God. My mother would take us, daddy would stay home. Is that right? Whether they was in a denominational group or whether they was members of the Church of Christ, is that right? For a father just to sit back and send his children to worship service? See, we have buses today that go around, pick up little kids, and their parents are sitting back at home. And the little kids go out there and get on that bus, and then they go to this place to hear God's word proclaimed. And then they go back home and they forget about what they have said. And the parents don't know what's going on. So both parents need to get involved in teaching the children God's word. Many times they're not going to agree with what is going on. But yet we still need to open up God's word. I can remember when Anita became a Christian and I wasn't a Christian, and we used to get home together after she's worshipped, and I so-called myself worshipping. I was worshipping, but it was unacceptable unto God. We would open up God's word and we would study it together. And we would study it together for a reason. We would stand together to get a truth from God's word. And the truth of the matter is this: I was wrong and she was right. God's word was right, and we both had to agree on being right according to God's word. Later on, I became a Christian. I believe it was like 2 or 3 weeks later. And we raised our boys in a Christian home, and we taught them God's word, and they accepted God's word. Now that they're grown, they're making their own choices. But you know, the truth is there. It's hard to reject it at times. It would eat at you. Your conscience would bother you. Timothy didn't have that problem because of what his grandmother and what his mother taught him. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, or actually 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, to verses 5. Four and five, it says, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfringed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." Paul was saying, "I'm persuaded you're full of faith. I'm persuaded that you understand God's word. I understand that you're going to do what is right." And this is a great thing, Timothy. It's a great thing because I know that you're dedicated. And I know that you will be the example that you're supposed to be to others that believe God's word. See, we need someone to lead people. We need someone that word can be entrusted in. That they may go out and they may teach people the truth concerning God's word. As Brother Gary read the scripture reference there from chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. and the things that thou hast heard among me, heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. See, this is what we're looking for Brother Gary. Brother Gary is starting out reading scriptures, and later on he would do more concerning God's word. He would get up sometimes and maybe teach God's word. Maybe the day would come when Brother Gary decides, you know, I want to be an elder of the Lord's church. And the only way that these things are going to happen is that Brother Gary remains faithful, and the brethren here, that they commit things unto him, that he may learn, that he may grow. Because this is what's pleasing unto God. In chapter 3, verse 15, or 2 Timothy, Paul continues to tell him, he said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You've known the holy scriptures. You know, there are many children that can't say this. Brother Daniel was saying the other day on the air, you know, he's 24 years old, and he made mention of that some of the people that he come in contact with being his same age. But they were not afforded to be taught the scriptures because their parents didn't think that it was important enough to teach them. Timothy didn't have that problem. His mother and his grandmother taught him. My grandmother used to tell us if we couldn't get up on Sunday mornings to go to Bible study, we had to spend the night with her on Saturday nights. We didn't want that. We would get up on Sunday morning. We would go to Bible study. But when we got to Bible study, we'd go in one door and we'd go out another door. We'd go down to the local funeral parlor and look at the dead people lying there, not realizing one day that we too would be lying there. So we need to get our lives in order. We need to do what is right. Timothy was taught the scriptures as a child. And he did not let, you know, any obstacle get in his way, with his dad being a Greek, with the opposition that people came up against him, you know, trying to get him to come away from the truth. He stuck fast to God's word. With all these obstacles, he still had faith in the Lord. But how faith do you have this evening? Jesus, the greatest example one can have. We need to live the life of Jesus, don't we? Well, we need to understand the path in which Jesus walked. We need to understand the sins that Jesus Christ came up against. And we need to make sure that we do what we know to be right. A man that was without sin. We don't have to sin. But a lot of times we give in to it. Jesus didn't give in to sin. When Satan had tempted him after he had fasted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus did not give in to the temptation. Our Lord and our Savior, he was faithful. He followed the Father's will. He did the things that God wanted him to do. You know, when his mother and his father was looking for him, Jesus, when they found him, he was sitting in the temple teaching. And he said, how is it that you're looking for me? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Can you imagine your child telling you, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? And he looked at him like, what? Jesus, 12 years old, making a statement like this. You know, I want to ask a simple question. Because I get all kind of answers. I don't want anyone to yell the answer out. But how old must a person be before they obey the gospel? How old must a person be before they obey the gospel? Many times we tell children that they're not ready. When we tell teenagers, you're not ready yet. You don't understand what it means to serve God. We tell grown-ups sometimes, you're not ready. Well, what does it take to get ready? Well, what does it take to serve God? What does it take to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you believe this with all your heart, and you know you want to walk and live a life that is pleasing to God? What does it take? You know, the eunuch, when he was reading out of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, when he was coming back from Jerusalem, set there in the desert, and he was reading, and Philip went to him. And he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? Now, this was a man. I have no idea how old he was, but he was a man. What does it take to understand God's word? It takes some teaching. It takes some teaching. And I believe that we have some teachers that go into our classrooms that are teaching the truth. You know, I sat back and I listened to what is being said, and through the years I've listened to what has been said, was said in the classrooms and the teachers, the things they talk about, and how bright their students are. And I just want you to know one thing. that if the truth is being taught and that child or that grown up comes up to you and say, you know, I am ready to become a child of God, you don't look at them and say, you're not ready. Because you're the one that has been teaching them. You're the one that has put in their minds that they need to have their sins washed away in their water grave baptism. They need to be a member of the Lord's church in order to be pleasing and acceptable unto God. So when you teach them the truth and they come to you and they say they're ready to obey, you need to take some action. You need to take some action. So Jesus, he was obedient to his parents. He did what his parents wanted him to do. He was obedient to God. He did what God wanted him to do. God sent him from heaven to this earth in order to live a life that he would be pleased with. A life where he was going to be approached with certain things, just as you and I are approached with today. But the Bible says he was without sin. He knew that his time would come, that he would have to be crucified. Let's go to the book of Matthew. To the book of Matthew. And just give me just 1 minute and I'll be over there and I'll tell you where I want you to go. Well, look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. As Jesus, as he grew from a child to a man, one of his dear followers, he had to look at him and he had to tell him that he would deny him. Do you think this would stop Jesus just because one of his followers would deny him? Do you think it would stop him? No, it did not. We find in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 26. Verse 31 of Matthew 26. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. We know the rest of the story, don't we? We know that what Jesus said came to pass. He said, Jesus answered him and said, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times. You're going to deny me, Peter. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples, I'm going to always be with you. I'm going to be by your side. I can recall my oldest son having a best friend, and they were in the bathroom and someone was jumping on his friend, and I asked my son, I said, what did you do? He said, I left. He left his best friend's side. Left him in the bathroom to get beat up. Peter said, I won't deny you. The rest of the disciples said, I won't deny you. Are you today denying Christ? Are you saying that you wish that you had never became a Christian? You know, we have some men that make that statement when they get to a certain age in life and they decide that they want to worship God in some other fashion. They say, I never really agreed with the Church of Christ teaching anyway. It's not the Church of Christ teaching. It's the teaching of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the doctrine of the apostles. If you're tired of it, it's not because you never believed. It's because you just quit believing. And you got tired of doing what is right and you wanted to live a life that you were pleased with. Peter, he denied our Lord and our Savior. Jesus even prayed that the cup may be removed from him. He said, Father, not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 37. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was buried. Jesus was raised up on the third day to ascend into heaven to sit up on the right hand of the Father. Our greatest example. See, you too can succeed. It says there in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, therefore let out the house of Israel, nor assuredly that Jesus, that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is our Savior. He's the one that we need to look up to. He's the one that goes to the Father on our behalf. that all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now what are you going to do with it? Bible says there in verse 37, when they heard it, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? See, we have people today that are running away from God. We have some people that are denying that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that He is the Savior, that He is the one that was sent to this earth in order to save His people from their sins, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. They're denying this. You know who's going to have to give an account for it? They are. And if we don't teach them the truth, we're going to have to give an account as well. So let us do what is right. Let us look at the life of these four men: Moses, Joseph, Timothy, and Jesus. And let us find out which one can we really associate with. Which one can we say, you know, my life is sort of like that. And I know that now, since we've looked at some scriptures, I can succeed. No matter if you come from a single parent home, no matter if you come from a dysfunctional home, no matter if you come from a divided home, or no matter if you come from a perfect home, you can succeed. You just have to put your best foot forward. Again, as I read this morning, but you didn't see it, you can. It's not your parents' fault if you don't. My mama didn't buy me the best clothes. No, clothes don't make a man. It's not your siblings' fault. Well, they always got the best of everything. I'm pretty sure when the table was set, you was able to eat the same food that they ate. When the clothes were bought, you got to get some nice clothes just like they did. So it's not your siblings' fault. It's not the fault of the employer. They promoted them over me. Why did they promote them over you? Well, I was late for work 5 or 6 times. It's not their fault. You can succeed. Be on time. Your destiny is within reach. If you first don't succeed, try and try and try again. Do what you know to be right. Study God's word. Learn the truth for yourself. The blame in the very end is going to be on you. Put God first in your life and you will see how sweet it is to be loved by Him. Why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. So let's do what is right. Let's be the people that God wants us to be. Let's act the way God would have us to act. If you're here and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, you understand that it's very simple. All you have to do is come forth and make the confession before the ones that's here that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have your sins washed away in the water of great baptism, and then be faithful. Faithful. How long? Unto death. Because life just begins when you come up out of that water. What's your excuse now? If you don't succeed, you don't have an excuse. The plan is there. It's up to you to do your part. If you're here and you are a member of the Lord's church and you're living in sin, come away from it. Come away from it. The person that you are in sin with, get away from them. It's simple. They call you. You tell them you're trying to live for God. They come by your house, you don't let them in. Very simple. You say that's rude. No, what's rude is this, that you are turning your back on Jesus Christ. That's rude. Because He's there. He's waiting. And He wants you to do what is right. So if you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.